This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. 7:37 in the morning, Friday the 10th of April. And if you're tuning in to us for the first time this week, yes, it's a little later than usual, but this is the new normal during the MCO period. We'll be starting our show at 7:30 instead of 6, but we'll be bringing you all the same business news and important updates. And in fact, what has not changed timings is the breakfast grill, because that's going to be happening at 8 o'clock as usual. And Khoo Swee Chong is going to be speaking with Aryaputra Ismail, CEO of SME Bank.
Now, SMEs across various sectors, of course, are the most hardest hit as we go through this MCO. Now, without urgent assistance, many are unlikely to survive the resulting economic crisis. So the question is the government doing enough to ensure the survival of these SMEs? So Khoo Swee Chong will be discussing the financing options and other relief available for the beleaguered SMEs with Aryaputra Ismail, the CEO of SME Bank. Now, what's going to be interesting and what's different this time is that they are going to join the show remotely from other locations. So welcome to the new normal of broadcasting. So for you, our regulars on Morning Run, you might think, this sounds a little bit different. But nonetheless, the conversation will be the best because it's not, you know, it's going to be conducted by Khoo Swee Chong. Who else? So do tune in, even though the audio might be slightly not what you're used to. And catch that in half an hour.
I can't wait until the point where I'm able to broadcast The Daily Show from like the comfort of the end of my own bed.
It's happening around the world. I mean, I listen to BBC all the time and they completely acknowledge it. And it was so funny because one of the presenters said, oh, I'm presenting from my son's double bunk bed at the top because it's the quietest. So sorry, guys. Everyone is in some form of a lockdown or another, right? Well, we just make do.
We do indeed. And this morning, we are taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers, first of all. Now, the New Straits Times has gone with a picture on the front page of, I believe these are medical workers in personal protective equipment, with the quote, "Our battle is not over yet." Now, that's a quote from the Health Ministry Director General, Dr. Noor Hisham Abdullah. And this is, I think, coming as the decision on whether or not the movement control order is going to be extended. That's actually going to happen later today. So I think everybody is waiting with bated breath to see the result of that. What do you think, Xiaoning? Do you think it's going to be extended?
I think so. I don't like it, I mean, but I think it's necessary. Because
I
think kudos to Malaysians for staying at home. I think kudos definitely to the frontliners who have done the bulk of the heavy lifting, looking after all the people who have contracted COVID-19. Kudos to the Ministry of Health for keeping us informed on what's happening. They seem to be very on top of the situation. And, you know, yesterday the numbers were encouraging. I think it was slightly just above 100 in terms of new cases.
106, yeah. I think.
But the reality is that there's still new cases, right? So until somebody tells me definitively that we are really making inroads into flattening the curve, it seems like we, you know, maybe it's something that we should continue. That's my personal view, but I'm not a scientist, you know, so...
Yeah, I think most of us just have to kind of make do with what information is coming out of the Health Ministry. And while it does look somewhat encouraging, nevertheless, you know, we have to all do our part and social distance. So the star as well in front of me. So their headline is Logistics Nightmare, talking about how with some areas like Malayan Mansion and Selangor Mansion under lockdown, authorities now have to feed thousands of residents, healthcare frontliners, and security personnel. So this is just highlighting the struggle that is being felt in quite a lot of areas that are being alleviated by these NGOs who have been working tirelessly to ensure that food and basic necessities gets to low-income households and gets to areas that have been deprived of access to these basic needs as long as the MCO has persisted. Because this is one of the cracks in our society that's been really highlighted by the fact that nobody can go out and so many jobs have been lost, so many daily wages have been lost as a result of this movement control order.
Yeah, I think yesterday when I watched the press conference given by our Minister of Defence, he also said, you know, there's lots of stories about people, let's say, not so much in urban KL, but outside of KL, you know, in the smaller rural kampongs and cities, that if you don't have enough basic necessities, you are supposed to go and see your village leader, because the government is supposed to have somewhat of an infrastructure to provide these basic necessities. So I hope this infrastructure does really exist. Now, in terms of the headlines for the Age Financial Daily and also the Malaysian Reserve, both have very similar headlines, and it is the question whether should Malaysia extend the MCO? That's from the Edge. And the Malaysian Reserve just goes past tense. Should MCO be extended? But basically, it's the same headline. And I think they weigh in the views of the medical community, the business community, whether it should be done. Of course, we all know it's going to be painful for businesses. That's a foregone conclusion. But the other thing is, do you want a second wave, right? A W-shaped kind of recovery, you know, for any economy? I think that would be quite bad too. So it's, you know, it's like balancing everything out, right, at the end of the day.
Yes, the Star page 3 has an article with the headline, "Most Malaysians okay with longer MCO." They did a survey, apparently, and saw that almost half of the respondents are willing to abide by an extended restriction. That said, there were a number of no votes, including because they had a few options. So some of them were, no, I currently don't earn an income. No, I'm still earning the same amount. No, I'm actually earning more now. So 2 in 5 Malaysians' incomes were affected by the MCO. And I think we had our own poll a couple of days ago as well over whether or not the MCO should be extended. And if I'm not mistaken, the prevailing sentiment was do whatever needs to be done in order to flatten the curve. So that was an encouraging response from our listeners as well. I'm taking a look at the Malay Mail, and their lead story, interestingly, is the question of should some inmates be freed to protect prisons from COVID-19? So the ex-IGP and health experts say yes, perhaps they should.
Well, they've done it in some countries. I know Iran did it. I think those prisoners where their sentences were almost up, you know, their terms were almost up, they just let them go early because really you don't want, I mean, can you really practice social distancing in a prison realistically?
Yeah,
no. So there goes.
All right, and now we're going to be taking a look at some messages, and then after that, we're going to be analysing the problem of how to get people back to work as the pandemic is still raging around the world. So be sure to stay tuned here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Shaoning. Now, we're running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, under this MCO, are you using e-commerce more than you used to? So we've already had 70 votes. 43% have said yes significantly, 32% said yes somewhat, 25% said no. Continue to let us know what you think. You've got about 2 hours left to vote on the poll. But in the meantime, this morning, we're taking a look at the question of how it is we're going to be getting people back to work once this coronavirus pandemic eventually subsides. So officials from all around the world are urgently mapping out plans to loosen lockdowns, begin rebooting their economies. The trouble is there's really no master plan to all of this. So it's a guessing game at its heart.
Well, this has never happened to
not on this scale.
Not on this scale. I mean, the last time I think anybody had, we faced such a pandemic was honestly, I think references to the 1918 Spanish flu, right? But the world was a very different, place, time. There's nothing quite like this, right? I mean, SARS was a tiny infection. MERS was even tinier than this. So I guess with nothing to guide us, no reference point, no historical point, really there is no master plan. So I think governments, business owners are just honestly kind of
crossing your fingers and hoping for the best?
Yeah, and kind of a little bit making it up as you go along, right? I just cannot imagine everybody's throwing stimulus packages at their economy like there's no tomorrow. You know, there's so much cheap money, easy money flowing out there. But the question is, will it work? Will it help? Or will we have a very painful and long, dragged out recovery?
And the question is also, you know, once you do take that step to reopen your economy, how, you know, there's no guarantee that the economy is just going to pick up and start running again like it used to, because other countries, you know, we're seeing this happen in China, right? China is starting to reboot its engine, but the rest of the world is still in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic. So even if Chinese manufacturers are able to process goods now, who's buying? Who's paying them? Can they even take deliveries?
Yeah, that's one issue. The other issue is health concerns, right? Because if you open up the economy, do you then trigger a second round of infections, right? Because, you know, let's say, you know, tomorrow, MCO is lifted on the 14th, hypothetically. And people think, hey, it's okay, I can go out. You know, I can do whatever I used to do.
Go party in the streets.
Yeah, I don't need social distancing. I can, you know, have my old life back. You know, we don't really know whether that will cause another wave of infections, because we do know now, and this is a fact, there are people out there with no symptoms of COVID-19. They're asymptomatic, and they could be, you know, spreading it, and then we could catch it, or other people could catch it, and then there'll be another wave. So there are all these questions up in the air, right?
Yes. And, you know, a second wave of infection is now a very real risk for China, considering the fact that they are rebooting, but the rest of the world is still suffering from this. And it's not like a country can shut down its economy every 3 months for another 3 months, you know, in order to get a handle on successive waves of this infection. So at the end of the day, it's more likely that governments around the world will take, you know, short-term pain for a longer-term gain But it's still a challenge for them to weather this. You know, we've seen trillions of dollars in fiscal measures unleashed as central banks all dive deeper into crisis policy settings to try and cushion their economies. Morgan Stanley estimates that the Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, the Bank of Japan and the Bank of England will all expand their balance sheets by a cumulative $6.8 trillion. And yet, despite those efforts, former Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke doesn't see a quick, sharp economic bounce after the fall this quarter.
Yeah, Ben Bernanke says that we'll probably have to restart activity fairly gradually, and there may be subsequent periods of slower activity again. Now, some parts of the economy, I think, will rebound faster than others as employees transition back to the workforce, but others will take longer. I mean, for me, obvious one that will take longer, aviation, right? I think that will be one that will be painful. Tourism is another one, because that's completely discretionary. Hospitality, even maybe non-essential retail, for example. Like, do you really want to go out and run out and buy that T-shirt, lipstick, shoes, if you already have a lot at home? You know, you will do it online, but it doesn't seem like something that's really required.
I think for the foreseeable future, people will think twice about stepping out of doors. So the question of, do I really need to go out, is going to be foremost on their minds, because, you know, how best can I minimize contact with other people? So anything that requires you to be in close contact with a crowd, say, you know, whether it's queuing in a line at a market, whether it is going to the cinema, I think all of that is going to take much longer to recover. Even if the pandemic ends for some strange reason tomorrow. So, you know, there has been a roadmap actually authored by a group of American health specialists calling for an intermediate stage where schools and businesses would reopen, but gatherings would still be limited. So people would still be encouraged to keep a distance from one another, and those at high risk would be told to limit their time in public. So some countries have already started planning this kind of incremental approach. Austria is one of them. So small shops, hardware and gardening stores will be allowed to open after Easter, which is next week, to be followed by all retailers to be allowed
Easter
to open.
Easter is this week.
Easter is this week?
Yes, this Sunday is Easter. Today
is
Good Friday.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so and all their retailers will be open starting May 1st. Denmark and Norway also plan to ease restrictions gradually. In Italy, selected firms could even be open in mid-April.
Yeah, I think they're, you know, it's a balancing act, right? And even in Malaysia, I've heard, of course, these are all unverified stories, but also I think even our SME association of our retail association, different associations have suggested that if the MCO is extended, maybe not in the same form and shape that it currently is. So, you know, now we allow, I think, as many as, 13 or 14 essential services? Right. Whether those, that list might be extended. So you just add different businesses to the list. You try and do an estimation, okay, which one has really requires business to start again, right? So rather than a very, very tight lockdown, which has a choke on the economy, that might be one option. But who knows? We really only know later today when our Prime Minister makes the announcement.
Yeah, and the Malaysian Department of Statistics also did a survey of Malaysians during this MCO, and they found that about 47% actually of self-employed residents reported losing their jobs following COVID-19 and the MCO being enforced. So an estimated 9 out of 10 individuals are currently working with lower than the usual salary. And the findings of the survey also showed that the sector with the highest percentage of job losses compared to others were in the agriculture sector, as well as the services sector. So this is it's a bit of a struggle. The question now is, you know, if the MCO is extended, what kind of support can the government give to people like this who have lost their jobs and who don't have any prospect of income for as long as the movement control order is in place? You know, in the US, we saw unemployment claims skyrocket because of just this same issue, right? When lockdowns were being announced in successive states, you had people who no longer had any source of income. And all of that burden then does fall on the state to try and mitigate, because you don't want your people to starve.
That's true. And I think what in Malaysia, what is particularly a little bit worrying is the savings, right? Financial savings. Because this same survey also found that in terms of financial savings, more than 2/3 of the self-employed, actually 71% of them, only have enough savings for less than a month. And generally, more than half of the survey respondents, 52%, said that they are financially most affected by COVID-19 and the MCO, while only 6.2% said they were less affected. Now, the survey also found that the duration of employee tenure also influences the financial savings. So 70% of them who have worked for less than 1 year stated that their savings is only enough for, less than a month.
Yeah, and if you count the fact that the MCO is currently on day 24, that month is running out.
Yeah. Yes, that's why, I think the government did offer this option for some of us.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't want to fulfill your EPF contribution, you could reduce it from, I think, 11 to 7%. But I think what is worrying is that there clearly is a certain segment of Malaysian society that really don't have enough to weather any crisis. And so, yes, the pandemic COVID-19 highlights this. But it's something that is also a longer-term structural issue. Mm-hmm. Because, every person, this is a nationwide crisis, a global crisis. But on an individual level, later on in your lives, you will have your own respective crisis. And if you don't have enough savings, this is part of, it becomes a real issue. So I think this is something that the government needs to do, whether it is whether we need to improve financial literacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The importance of savings. And also I think that, sometimes I think this is something that Malaysians, we are lucky, we have EPF, we have this statutory pension fund, but for a lot of people, they don't contribute.
And for a lot of people, it's still not enough, because this is why the government, even before this, under the previous government or what have you, its financial literacy was already a priority. EPF had come out to say that, 60% of people who had accounts with them didn't actually have enough money to last them more than a year. And this is amid the situation where Malaysians are living longer. Say mandatory retirement age is at 55. The average mortality, level is at 75, 74. So that's 20 years that you have to live on your savings. And already a lot of people didn't have enough to do that. So how much worse is this COVID-19 pandemic going to make it? Particularly, there was a lot of criticism initially over that move to allow people to reduce their contribution to EPF because the argument was that you are, rather than helping people yourselves, you are getting people to dip into their retirement savings at the cost of themselves further down the line. But then I guess for a lot of people, it's not that, the people who would take this up are the ones who are really in dire need of survival right now. They need that cash flow right now. If you have the cash flow available to keep on paying the same contribution to EPF, why not do it? Because, you know, because if it's not going to make you extremely strapped, then, you know, it is still good to be planning for your retirement.
Yeah, it is. I mean, everyone should just nonetheless still plan for their retirement, whatever financial state you are in now or going to be currently. But going back to that survey that was done by the Department of Statistics Malaysia, they want to emphasize that it was only conducted on 168,000 respondents from the period of March 23 to March 31. And we all know surveys aren't necessarily always accurate. No survey predicted that Trump would actually get into the White House, and they were wrong. But nonetheless, it is indicative. And it's, what is interesting is, 71% of employees are ready for another MCO extension. They know it psychologically. Mm-hmm. It's something that it's going to happen. But, you know, maybe not everybody is prepared. And those that are most prepared are in the GLCs and MNCs because they have better savings.
And amidst all of our continued coverage of the Prihatin stimulus package and managing personal finances with the MCO and COVID-19 in mind, yesterday Roshan Kanisan did speak to licensed financial planner Idham Idris about how to apply for aid in the stimulus package, reasons to continue with the loan moratorium, how to manage it, and important lessons we have to learn from this crisis. So you can find that conversation on the BFM app as well as on Spotify. But right now we're heading into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and then the Breakfast Grill's coming up with Kusu Chuang, who speaks with Arya Putra Ismail, CEO of SME Bank. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.